Today I have with a special guest. We're just doing, you're going to sit in on a conversation with Dr. Sandy Gluckman. She is an author, an educator, an international speaker who's consulted with and trained thousands of people and parents and teachers in different parts of the world. And she teaches how to look past the stigmatizing labels and instead connect, communicate, and behave with these children in ways that ignite the real and talented child inside of them. Her unique parenting and teaching tools are based on neuroscience and how to validate and honor children for the remarkable ways that their brain works. And those are things that are really important to real you. We want to connect with people that are aligned with building self-worth and resiliency. And she's a perfect example of somebody in that space that's really walking the walk. Dr. Sandy is a learning behavior and mood specialist who describes her quest as saving the next generation from being overdiagnosed, over-medicated, and misunderstood, quite honestly. Her work is based on the unique blend of her studies in functional medicine, interpersonal neurobiology, and psychology. She describes this integrated approach as spirit, body, and brain medicine, which means she treats the whole child because she believes what is happening to the child is the spirit is affecting everything. And the spirit is inseparable from the entire realm of who the child is or who we really are. And she has a couple different really unique programs that she works with. And one of them is called Parenting That Heals. And the other is Teaching That Heals the Brain. And these have been workshops that have been presented across many countries. And she consults clients both in person and online to just customize and be able to utilize the digital platform to help more and more people with their children and the connection between building those relationships and opening the lines of communication to understand ourselves much better. One of the video that I saw first, that I watched a few different ones, but the one I'd like you to speak into is the topic of why millions of children believe that they're not enough. And if you could just share a little bit of your thoughts and insights on that, that would be. And then also follow it up with steps that we can take as parents and teachers to make that disappear, or to help create some sort of a way to aid in that area.
And thank you for that question. It's the one that's very, very close to my heart, because I guess I was a child who for many, many, many years, in fact, into my early adulthood, believed I was not enough, not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough. I just was not enough. And I can tell you that it is a very painful feeling, a very painful core belief to have about ourselves. But I need to say that no child is born with a belief in a neural pathway which goes, I'm not enough, I'm just not good enough. We can't be born with that kind of belief. So we had to have got it somewhere. And the unfortunate thing is that it came from very loving parents. Parents who, with all the best intentions in the world, with the greatest love in the world, were sending these children the message, subtly, of course, not you're not enough, but a subtle message of you could be doing things better, you could be doing things differently, this is just not right, you need to try harder. And then, of course, many of these children are taken off to see healthcare practitioners, and then they get a label, and the label defines them as not enough, as not good enough, as something wrong with me. And so, even with children who are not labeled, very often parents are unintentionally, of course, sending the message of who you are in this kind of way is just not enough for me. I want more. I want you to be more. And of course, they, parents want their children to be the very best version of themselves for the child's sake, but it's often also for the parent's sake. And so we have these millions of children kind of getting the message over and over again daily that they could be different. They need to be different. The way they are right now is just not enough.
Yeah. And their parents weren't filled up themselves, as good as their intention, as that's my take on it. I think that's something that Dr. Brené Brown had said, that the difference is that between the kids is the one thing, it's the knowing that they're worthy. If they doubt it, that makes all the difference. You know, if they're embedded that early on, and as great as intentions of some of the parents, it doesn't always work. If they're not filled up themselves, it's hard to fill up another. Yeah.
Gosh, Wade, you make such an important point. Because, again, in my research, what I've discovered is that every one of these amazing parents that I work with, they themselves have an I'm not enough. Well, not everyone. Sometimes it's just mom, and sometimes it's just dad, sometimes it's both of them. And when I explain to them that your child is behaving in this kind of way, your child's defiant, for example, or your child is anxious, or your child is depressed, or just your child is unmotivated, it's just not doing the best that he or she is capable of. And then I explain to them that it's coming from a underlying root belief, core belief of being not enough, and that causes enormous inner pain. It hurts their spirit, and it changes their biochemistry and their neurochemistry. I would say almost 100% of one of the parents goes, Dr. Sandy, I know what you mean, because you're describing me. That's the way I have always felt. So it's like the sense of not enoughness is often generationally imparted. And as I said, it's you also mentioned a very important point, Wade, that not enoughness is actually my sense of self-worth, or my sense of I don't have any self-worth. And what could be more painful than that? So certainly it does start with the parents. And it's what makes my practice very unique, because parents come to me with these sort of requests to, Dr. Sandy, my child is not studying, is very smart, but is not motivated, etc., or whatever the situation may be. Can you do something to help him? It's kind of, can you fix my child? I'll drop him on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock for an hour, and then tell me how long I need to be doing that, and let's fix it. And then they get the news that Dr. Sandy Gluckman doesn't work with the child, certainly not in the beginning, and sometimes not ever. She works with the parents. And so that's what I do, is I help parents to understand that's what's going on inside of them, biologically and neurologically, is transferred to the child. And when we can change what's going on inside of a parent in terms of their beliefs, their feelings, the behaviors, the way they perceive the child, the way they perceive the world, and so on, when we can make some changes to that, what we're really doing is we're changing the energetic vibration that is coming off that parent. And when that energetic vibration is one of, I see you, I hear you, I love you for who you are, you are just amazing and wonderful, and we can work on some stuff together. When it's a positive energetic vibration like that, it's coming from a very healthy spirit, body, brain in the parent, and it is imparted to the child. So the child's spirit, body, and brain begins to sync with the healthiness of the parent's one. And of course, it works the opposite way.
Yeah. I bet you it's kind of eye-opening to some parents when they come to you to to fix the child, and they end up having to rediscover themselves and have to work on themselves so hard, because that's really the core, the way to fix and help their child the best. And that is, it's hard work, especially as we get older. It's harder to change, harder to make the adjustments to do it. But the powerful thing is, nothing more powerful than your child to make that change, for, you know, to force you to become the higher version of yourself. And that's really a beautiful thing, that you've mentioned that before, some of your information, your books and videos.
Yes, and you know, Wade, I'm so happy to say that there are very few parents, when I break the news to them, that we're not going to be dropping him once a week for a while, but we're going to drop the parents in once a week for a while, or whatever it takes. I have all kinds of different programs. I'm happy to say that the vast majority of parents actually say to me, you know what, Dr. Sandy, I knew it was me. I just didn't know what to do differently. I have the odd, very defensive, sort of ego-driven parent who goes, I didn't come here for you to fix me. I came here for you to fix my child. And I say, that's what I'm doing when I'm fixing you. But for most part, there is that sense of knowingness in the mom and or the dad that I love this child so much, but I might be doing something that's triggering these things. And then I'm telling somebody else to fix it, or I'm telling the child this is not okay, but it's actually started with me and the way in which my energetic vibration is affecting the child, the way I'm speaking, the language I choose, the look on my face, my body language, the conversations I have, are actually is where the whole underlying root cause of all of these depression, anxiety, etc. symptoms start. So I would love to share something with you. It was just happening when I was looking for some statistics this morning to share with you. And there's an organization that did some research, and their studies show that by the time a child reaches the age of 18, they have heard the words don't do or don't say over 150,000 times, compared to less than 2,000 words associated with encouragement, self-worth, and belief. And the article goes on to say this ratio raises havoc on a child's subconscious mind and self-beliefs as they seek to find their identity.
Beautiful, yeah. That we've actually, under my under the website where my name is, that's the phrase I use.
There you go.
Really, that's what's really resonated with me too. It's like, this cannot continue. This is just poisoning our children. If we need to change the way we talk to them, to the way we feed them, with, you know, we can go and buy organic food, but we need to feed them the words that matter, because it makes all the difference.
We really are talking about a neuroplasticity, because thanks to Dr. Daniel Siegel, we've discovered that the brain is very plastic and malleable, and so it's not hardwired. So if the child believes I'm not enough, and it usually starts pretty early on in their lives, in fact, by the time they are 7 years old, they have been told so often, well, they have interpreted the message of I'm not enough so often that it is lodged in a neural pathway, which becomes their default. And so the good news is, with neuroplasticity, we can actually unwire and rewire that belief from I'm not enough to I am so enough. And that's what I teach parents, is how do you rewire your child's not enoughness? And in the process, of course, of rewiring that belief, where the child starts to, you know, a belief is a chemistry, it's a chemical. Because we use terms so loosely very often. We talk about feelings. I have a feeling or an emotion, or I have a belief. But what is a feeling or an emotion, a belief? Where does it live? What gives it life? And it is chemistry. It is a neurochemical. So if we're talking about the child now beginning to trigger the neurochemicals of enoughness, I am so enough, we're talking about brain chemistry. And it's so easy for parents to do. It just happens when they know how to engage with their child in a way that's going to change the neurochemistry from not enough to so enough. Because you can never, as much as the mom or dad love the child with their lives, they can never convince a child to feel enough, to feel good enough, to have a positive self-esteem through a conversation. It's never, ever going to change from the outside in. I call it an outside-in attempt at healing, not enoughness. It makes no difference. The child may feel good for 20 minutes because you're telling him, you know, you are so smart, you are so creative, you are so wonderful, and the brain is not holding it. There's nothing happening in the brain. So parents really do need to understand that there is a way to rewire, which means you are changing the brain chemistry for the better. And then that change in the brain chemistry becomes what we call emotional resilience. And everybody's looking for, how do I make my child more emotionally resilient? These are tough times. They're going into a challenging world. They need to be emotionally resilient. And once again, it's not going to come from telling them. You have to be strong. You have to get out there. You have to have confidence. It's going to come from knowing, how do you go in and heal the child on the inside, starting with the very first step of rewiring the child's I am not enoughness. I would recommend that those listeners who really want to change the inner child inside of them, well, let me say, it's not a change, it's who want to free the wondrous inner child that is inside of them, which maybe it's stuck with anxiety inside of them, is to write what I call the story of me. And I always recommend to write it in the third person. So I tell my clients to start your story of me. And it's the way I start my very first session with all my moms and dads. Write a story of me that begins with, one day a boy was born and they gave him the name of Wade. And then you tell the story in the third person as though you're watching it from the outside. And then I ask certain questions about, how did this child feel about himself? Did he feel like he was enough or not enough? How early in life did he feel not enough? And so just writing the story can be extremely healing.
Yeah, that's just one more example. To journal, to write. For me, that's over the last few years, I've kind of found home in that, just to be able to take your thoughts and write them onto paper and to explore. And it is very, for me, very soothing. And I think for just the general population, it's a great way to let things out, and to, whether it comes out looking like a work of art, it doesn't matter. It's just you sharing some things that need to be taken, brought out of you. If it's done verbally, that's also valuable, you know, to be able to share that written and spoken.
Yes, I'd like to add a piece to that, Wade, and that is that in journaling, the best thing is never to read it again.
All right.
As you say, it doesn't have to look like art, but you shouldn't know whether it looks like art or gibberish, because you should not read it again. It's a way of detoxifying what's going on inside of you onto a piece of paper, and then just leave it in your journal. Don't go there again. There's no reason. And in the same goes with verbalizing it, because I'm afraid that a lot of well-intended therapy, talking therapy, is actually just making the I'm not enough neural pathway deeper. Remembering the bad event, remembering what happened to me, remembering the trauma, remembering what dad always said to me, etc. We do need to talk about it, but then we need to actually let go of it and rewrite it.
Nice. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Well, I know that one of the most trying times I went through, I just happened to have a journal. It was kind of at the beginning when I started journal, and I couldn't put the pen down, but it allowed me to get it out, because it was so much for me to handle, and that allowed me to release it. And I haven't looked at it since. It should be burned probably at this point. But
yeah, it's really not useful to go backwards. We need to go forwards. And when we go backwards, we just, it's almost a PTSD. We bring up all the painful chemicals and emotions and feelings and memories. Yeah. We don't need those. We need to use the wonderful brain we have, not to remember the past. Although I'm saying let's not be in denial, but not to constantly feed it. And then we need to use that wondrous brain we have to plant into the universe the intentions for the future. I do want to say that for those who found what we talked about useful today, there are ways in which you can learn more. Certainly my YouTube channel, which you could just go to from my homepage, Dr. Dr. Sandy with a Y, Gluckman, GLUCKMAN.com, drsandygluckman.com. You can go to my YouTube channel from that homepage. There also on my site, you will see some online programs that I offer for children who are suffering from anxiety. I'm about to launch, I'm hoping in the next 2 weeks, a 14-day online program for raising resilient, confident children who are primed for success. I also offer a complimentary session, which is on my homepage. So feel free to go into the schedule for that. There's my book. There's lots of ways. You can just email me with questions. Just let's have a conversation. I'm out there for you in whatever way that works. I do want to say, Wade, that I totally love what you're doing, the peer-to-peer training. I think it's so smart.
Well, great. Well, we'll look forward to speaking with you again soon.